I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my call. Tony, my friend, how you doing and what are you drinking?
Chris, I am doing wonderful tonight. It has been a fun day. Feeling much better. Right now, I am currently drinking some of that Woodford's Reserve Double Oaked from the other night that we talked about. I had had a few drinks, and now I decided to switch over this some of the smoothest bourbon on the planet. It's just a wonderful, robust pick, store pick from Lukens. And it's delicious.
The Woodford Reserve Double Oak is might be my favorite readily available bourbon on the market. Like, it's consistently good. It's a really solid pick. It tastes delicious. It's dangerous because you can drink a lot of it rather quickly.
So much.
But it's not like Eagle Rare or Blanton's or even, hell, even Florida Weller. Like, you could actually go into pretty much any liquor store and grab it, and it's going to be like $50. It's a great pick.
Yep.
Great pick.
Definitely always a good choice to have on your shelf.
And I'm actually drinking a 132 proof bourbon. This is a Jack Daniel's private barrel here. Not even a bourbon, a whiskey. Sorry, it's Jack Daniel's, not a bourbon. 132 proof, though, and I am feeling it, and I am feeling good. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boozy Bracketology, the podcast that believes in three things: strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. And we are on to our second portion of the round of 64 in the best video game franchise bracket, and that is, of course, the RPG category. Tony's going to be kicking us off, but let's meet the rest of our panelists, starting with the pride of, I don't even actually know where you're from, Jason, so just tell me what, how you doing and what are you drinking?
Hey guys, I'm doing well. I am out in the frigid mountains of Colorado here. Right now, I'm not drinking anything, so I'm going to need help from you guys. What do you think? So I get a rum, a whiskey, or a vodka?
I'm a whiskey guy.
Whiskey again, huh? Irish whiskey.
Whiskey, I got a duh.
Whiskey.
I'm always right, a whiskey guy.
Whiskey?
I think you're drinking whiskey tonight, man. That's what it sounds like.
That's what it is. All right, the whiskey it is. I got an Irish whiskey here. We'll drink that again. Tullamore Dew it is.
I love the fact you can actually hear the bottle clanging in the background.
Yes. I've got the whole box right here next to me, just ready to go.
His booze box.
See, some people need a booze box. Some of us have a booze room. Also doubles as my podcast studio, so.
I'm with you on that one, Chris.
Well, let's keep on moving. We're heading out to the windy city of Chicago, Illinois. Stu, my friend, how you doing and what's in your glass?
I'm good, Chris. I'm good. I am drinking just some homemade sweet tea right now. That's it. Plain and simple. Nothing too crazy here, but it is delicious.
Yeah, we've had this conversation once before, but I am still shocked by the concept of homemade sweet tea.
Yeah, it's better. You just get to control the amount of sweetness, the amount of flavor. You know, you can pick some good tea. It's not just in a plastic jug.
I am going to tell the Winn-Dixie gallon of unsweet tea in my fridge that Stu, quite frankly, didn't mean what he just said, although I think he hurt Winn-Dixie's feelings. Stu, my friend, I am glad that you're here. We're going to keep on moving. Let's meet the rest of our panelists. We're moving over next to the one and only, the incomparable, and now off the market, Steven, my friend. How you doing? And I'm not even going to ask you what you're drinking because I know it's going to be some sort of a carbonated diet beverage. Or maybe Gatorade, actually. You could still be on a Gatorade kick.
Yeah, I'm still trying to sop up the electrolytes, so you don't know my life. You don't know anything about me. I'm a riddle wrapped in an enigma, all inside a cuzzly little puzzle. Like, I you would think I would sweet. Then you would get to know me, and you would not think that anymore.
All right, Edward.
Also, like, no one here thinks you're sweet. Like, stop trying to pass that narrative along.
He's a Sour Patch Kid.
Jason's been on one episode with you, and even Jason knows you're not sweet. Jennifer said it right. You're a Sour Patch Kid, dude. Own it.
Sour Patch Kids are sweet after
the Yeah. Sour Patches are sour then sweet.
Sour then sour sweet, kid. Right, exactly.
So I'm like half a Sour Patch Kid at best.
He's an atomic warhead, let's be honest.
I quit.
There we go.
Run this yourself. I don't care anymore. You know what? I'm not going to be I am professional. I am professional. Let's hope our last panelist doesn't piss me off. Jennifer, how you doing and what are you drinking?
Hi, I'm doing so good tonight. I'm so glad you're having me back on the show. I am drinking a super strong drink right now. It's called Caffè. I'm drinking my Italian sweet cream, and that has nothing to do with the fact that Jason is Italian. Coffee. Shh, 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 shh. But I have not updated my liquor cabinet yet because Jason currently has all of our liquor with him in Colorado and for the next 2 weeks. So after that, I will be boozy.
Jennifer, I'll throw this out there. I know you don't live necessarily near me, but I have a bottle here if you want it. I actually haven't even cracked it, but I can't drink it anymore because it's too sweet. It's Ezra Brooks bourbon cream that mixes very well with coffee. If you want that bottle, it's here. It's really good. It's really too sweet for me. It's literally, I think it was like 20 grams of carbs per serving. I couldn't do it. So it's yours if you want it. If you ever want to trek over to Clearwater, you can grab that. And you can also grab that toolbox I've been holding on to you for like literally 8 months.
You still have it.
Yeah, I don't get rid of stuff. But someday you'll
be able to... I'm getting in my car right now.
No, we got a podcast to record, and you want to come over when the baby's awake, so you can actually meet the baby.
Yeah, that's true.
So, okay, we're moving right into this, ladies and gentlemen. We are in the RPG category here of the best video game franchise. We're starting with Tony, and Tony, you're going to start off with, and don't let my terrible rendition of the television show theme song turn you off or on, for that matter. You're choosing between the 1 seed of Pokemon or the 16 seed of Monster Hunter. Tony, lock in your pick.
Well, first off, I can't let it turn me on, Chris. You're such a tease sometimes, damn it. But no, in all seriousness, Monster Hunter is a great game. And if anybody's following currently, they did just come out with a most recent, within the last 2 weeks, we're dating this podcast now, but Monster Hunter Rise, phenomenal game. Check it out if you haven't. I'm not being paid by Capcom. I wish I was. However, that being said, and I will wax poetic way more about this game later on because I think it's going to go quite far. The obvious winner here is Pokemon. It defined not only a generation, but a whole entire movement. It is the number one selling intellectual property. There is not a single damn thing that has made more money than Pokemon, and it's a monster in your pocket. Pun intended. Pokemon is moving forward. I'll talk to you more about it later.
And as Tony has reminded me, I actually need to delete that trivia question from a future game that he might be playing in for the pub trivia experience. We're going to bring this one over to Jason and get his opinion.
Yes, I think I'm going to be in the minority on this one, but I've never been into Pokemon. I've never gotten the appeal of it. I know my son, if he heard me right now, he'd probably be crying in his room. But I'm going to have to vote for Monster Hunter. I love the game. I love the collection aspect. I love the thought of fighting these incredible beasts, right? It's just it's the powerful. You have to overcome it. You have to collect their parts to create more powerful weapons and armor. Pokemon, though, has never done it for me. It's just it's too childish, but I know I'm in the minority. Pokemon's a great game. It's a great franchise. But Monster Hunter's going to take it for me.
All right, Jason's locked in with a vote for Monster Hunter. We're bringing this one over to Stu.
You know, I'm kind of sad that these two got paired up, because I'd love to see Monster Hunter go farther than it's going to go right now. But it's got to be Pokemon. Like Tony said, it defined a generation. It was an entire movement, and the genius marketing behind splitting the game up into two different types so that way kids had to interact with each other and buy different versions. You could bring it past the games and go into the card series. You can go into the movies and the anime and everything. Like, it's Pokemon without a doubt. I mean, it's just Pokemon. I mean, you can't go wrong with it.
And that is a vote for Pokemon. And I will remind our panelists that this is a live recording. So if you send a message in Skype, not only does the actual person speak and get to hear it, but like, we all hear that little beep. So be cognizant of that. We're moving on. Pokemon's got a 2-1 lead. We're bringing it over to Steven.
So, in many ways, this is a natural matchup, Pokemon and Monster Hunter, because they're both monster collection RPGs. The idea is you collect your monsters and build your team, but Pokemon does it better, like way better. And there's a brilliant thing about Pokemon that doesn't go discussed. The reason why Pokemon is so popular is because you can engage with it at any level. If you just want to collect the 6 cutest Pokemon and win the game like that, you can beat that game that way. If you want to get a little more in depth and you want to build a team based upon strengths and weaknesses and typing, you can do that. If you want to get more in depth and start to breed your Pokemon to get the right moveset so that you can begin to get online, you can do that. If you want to go more in depth and start breeding them to get the right IVs, you can do that. If you want to get more in depth and start training them to get the right EVs, you can do that. You can engage with this game at any level. You can go into it as hard or as little as you want and still have this incredibly enjoyable experience. It's something that almost no other franchise I know has done, that it can work on so many levels for so many different people. And that's the truth of why the Pokemon games are popular. Yeah, it's got the marketing, yeah, it's got the TV show, but the reason the games are so great and you keep buying every generation is because no matter what level of video game player you are, you can get the experience you're looking for out of Pokemon. So it's Pokemon all the way.
And with that, Pokemon is moving on to the round of 32. I'm going to go over next to the person who I can only assume is their favorite Pokemon is maybe Cubone. Jennifer, lock in your vote.
Listen here, why are you knocking Cubone?
I'm not knocking Cubone. It's literally the only Pokemon's name I could think of other than Pikachu, and Pikachu was not a deep enough cut. So you got Cubone. You know what? Do you want to be Dragonair, Dragonite? Do you want to be Dratini? You could be Mr. Mime. I don't care. Lock in your vote.
So yeah, this one is like, I do enjoy Monster Hunter, but at the same time, I mean, Pokemon already won, but I think Pokemon reached out to the masses in a way that Monster Hunter couldn't. Like, I mean, I play Pokemon Go, you know, with my kids. We walk around the park and it gets them out and exercising. Or we, you know, sit at home and play Pokemon. We have Pokemon cards. We have, you know, it's like, it's just one of those games that is just going to go so much further. And I had more points to discuss, but I don't see the point right now because we're going to be discussing it again in the future. So Pokemon it is.
Pokemon is going to take a 4-1 victory, moving its way onto the round of 32. And we are up to what I think might be our most contentious pick of the night. We're going to see. We have got the 8 seed of The Witcher. And that is going to be taking on the fan favorite, the 9 seed, Kingdom Hearts. Jason, you have to start us off here, so I'm just going to turn the floor over to you.
Yeah, this one's difficult because I'm kind of torn because I know Jen likes Henry Cavill's abs, so... I want to vote against it, but I can't. I have to vote for The Witcher. This is a great franchise. This is a great book series. I know this is based just on the games itself, but the Kingdom Hearts series never really quite did it for me. I never quite got the appeal of it. I know it's very popular. I don't get the crossovers. So I never got very far in the series myself, but The Witcher, the story, the darkness, right? The appeal of the, it's almost like an anti-hero. He's kind of not a protagonist. What's the word? The anti-hero, I guess would be the word. He's kind of an anti-hero, I would say. But he, Henry Cavill's Witcher, I think, puts it over the top for me. I have to vote for The Witcher on this one.
The Witcher has got a 1-0 lead. We're bringing this next pick over to Stu.
You know, originally, I was going to go with Kingdom Hearts because I've never played The Witcher, but I've watched playthroughs of it. I've seen more about the lore and just, you know, actual gameplay and everything. And I'm a big fan of Kingdom Hearts. I absolutely love it. Obviously, like, I love Disney and I love Square Enix. And so why not? Like, why wouldn't it be a perfect game? But honestly, in replaying it and revisiting it, especially now that I'm a bit older, it doesn't do it for me anymore. And I think that I continuously look at the game through rose-colored glasses, especially the first one, which is, you know, my favorite. But it just doesn't hold up the way I thought it did. And I know that The Witcher is absolutely fantastic, and while I personally don't have a lot of experience playing it, I definitely have seen enough of the game to know that this is something else. So my vote is actually for The Witcher.
Well, my prediction there aside, it's apparently kind of close to being a runaway. Steven, we're going to allow you to lock in your vote now.
Yeah, I think Stu actually said a lot of what I was going to say. Kingdom Hearts, the first Kingdom Hearts game, is one that I absolutely adore. I think it's clever. I think it's well thought out. It plays well. It's just a really good, enjoyable storyline. And I think that every successive Kingdom Hearts game has gotten worse and worse and worse till, as a franchise, as a whole, it's not a very good franchise anymore. I'm sorry. It's just... It's too convoluted. I don't care about any of the characters anymore. And I'm a Disney guy. I'm your target audience, and I could not give two fucks at this point. So if this is maybe even earlier, maybe if there are only like two Kingdom Hearts games out, easily gets my vote. But at this point, I'm going to go with The Witcher. The Witcher is top to bottom a more enjoyable experience. So Witcher all the way.
So in an interesting like turn of events, I thought this was going to be a close game, and from a score standpoint, it doesn't appear to be that way, but it seems like a couple of our panelists are kind of torn up about this. Let's keep this truck moving, though. Jennifer, lock in your vote.
This was probably the most difficult one for me, because Kingdom Hearts, I absolutely adore. And yes, going back, I mean, it's not necessarily the best game in the universe. There are games on here that are definitely much better, but we are a huge Kingdom Hearts household. My son has, when we have every single iteration of the game, my son has played and beaten all of them already. And the first one on the PS2, you know, eons ago. But you are correct in that they're not getting any better, and they're taking so long to come out now, and they're not even they're not even trying anymore. And I was threatened with no sex for a year if I didn't choose The Witcher, and since it already won, I'm just gonna go with The Witcher, because I don't want that. I like my life.
Okay. And what is might be the most awkward I don't even have a segue for this. I'm sorry. I've lost control. Okay. Somehow we earned an explicit tag and didn't earn an explicit tag in one conversation. Tony, rescue me from this iteration of hell. I don't know what else to say.
It's okay, Chris, because I'm about to actually earn the explicit tag. What the fuck are you all on about? Okay, let me get this straight. The Witcher. How many of you have actually played the original Witcher on the PC? Because that's a hot pile of garbage of shit. I love this series, but that game is awful. The Witcher 2? It's an alright game. It's like a 37-hour campaign filled with a bunch of... Did we really just fucking do that? Kingdom Hearts, though it may be like a 20-year journey, at least has a decent start and finish. You can talk about, yes, 358 over 2 is a conundrum fuck of... What just happened to my head? Should I be emotional? Should I not be? What the fuck is going on? But the fact is, Kingdom Hearts makes you feel things. Geralt, as awesome as he is as a main character, is pretty fucking bland. I love the third game, and it is probably one of the best games of all time, but it is only the third game which props this series up. If you were to just look at the first and second game, this wouldn't even make the top 20 RPGs, let alone even touch Kingdom Hearts. Love the series, love Geralt, love Triss and Yennefer, love Ciri, but Kingdom Hearts takes this all day in my book.
Now, unfortunately, the book is closed on Kingdom Hearts as The Witcher is moving on to the round of 32. We don't have time to dwell on past mistakes that four of us have made. We are moving on. And we are moving on to Stu. You have got your 5 seed of Persona taking on the 12 seed of Baldur's Gate. Two video games that I have never heard of. Stu, take us away.
Cool. So, Again, I'm going to be honest. I don't have a lot of experience with Persona. It's high on my list of things I need to get to, but I just haven't gotten to it yet because it hasn't really stood out enough to me yet. Baldur's Gate, on the other hand, I have limited experience with, but Dark Alliance for the PS2 was arguably one of the best couch co-op games of all time for the PS2. It was a absolute blast, and if you had the multi-tap, you could spend just days running through that game again and again. It was fantastic. It's Baldur's Gate, no doubt.
Baldur's Gate has picked up its first vote. We're bringing it over to Steven.
Yeah, I actually have had a chance to play a little bit of at least one of the personality games, and I've seen them all, and I enjoy the psychological aspects of them, and if this had been a different matchup, I might actually vote for them, because I really do enjoy what I've played. But Baldur's Gate is a really, really good RPG, and I think it's got the accessibility, like anyone could pick it up, but like, you know, if you're a kid like me that grew up, you know, reading Dungeon Master manuals, there's just so much flavor and things in that world that I just absolutely adore that even if it had been only an okay game, it would probably get my vote here, and it's not an okay game. That series is really, really good. So, Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate's picked up another vote. We're bringing this one over to Jennifer.
So this one's actually kind of weird for me. So I don't really have much experience with either of these. From my recollection, Persona has an anime as well. I don't know, correct me on that. I'm pretty sure it does, because I think I've seen that. But speaking of the video game, I don't really have that much experience with it. I do recall playing Baldur's Gate. I do recall enjoying the graphics and the scenery, and, you know, I it's just one of those things where it seems as though Baldur's Gate pops out more for me, because, you know, I'm very much into D&D and stuff like that too, so I'm going to go with Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate's got another vote. We are bringing this next vote over to Tony.
So yeah, to calm it back down, to bring it back to a more civilized answer, I love all of you. But for this one, both of these games are really fun. I wouldn't say either of them are phenomenal games. Persona definitely has some of its more standout moments, especially later in the series. It is a side series, technically, that has breathed enough life into itself that it is now forgotten that it's a side series. Persona is really fun for any JRPG fans out there who have gotten away from the turn-based style. Really fun game, really involving. Has some really mind-fucky moments in it, because it's all about being internalized and awesomeness. Baldur's Gate, a lot of fun for Western RPGs. This is a really interesting matchup, in my opinion. It's kind of what each area does best. Baldur's Gate, though, will take my vote, but it isn't even necessarily the best D&D RPG. It's just, unfortunately, the one we have, because it is the most accessible of some of the RPGs.
Well, Baldur's Gate is definitely moving on to the round of 32, but let's hear from Jason nonetheless.
Yes, I got to be honest. I'm not familiar with Persona at all. So just based on that fact, I'm going to be voting for Baldur's Gate. But I just want to say that, you know, Baldur's Gate exemplifies D&D very well. Especially set in the Forgotten Realms world, which I think is fantastic. So it's a tough one, I guess, if you knew West versus East on this one. But since I don't know the Persona Japanese role-playing game, I'm just going to have to vote for Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate's moving along. I will say that Persona, when it came to like rankings of video games, for RPGs, Persona was consistently ranked in the top three or four. Like, there were a lot of people that were big fans of that series. I've never played it because I think my extent of my video game knowledge goes to Call of Duty. With all of that being said, we're moving on. Baldur's Gate's in the round of 32, and we are moving on. Steven, you are kicking us off. Are we going with the four seed of Elder Scrolls, or the 13th seed of Diablo?
So this is probably the toughest matchup in this region for me here. Because these are both sort of opposite ends of the RPG spectrum. One of them is very much, you have to really manage your characters, you got to make sure you're min-maxing, you've got to pay attention to all the little stats increases. And the other one is basically, you know, you're leveling up, just kind of you pick your level, you pick your spell, you grab an item. So, yeah, Diablo is a much, much simpler game. Dude, this is tough for me. It's one of those, like, it would depend on which one of these I was going to pick up and play would depend on what the mood I was in that day. And I think more often I'm going to pick Diablo just because it's not as big an investment of my time. And I think it's a little bit more playable because of that. So I'm going to go with Diablo.
Well, the 13 seed has gotten its first vote. We are bringing it over to Jennifer.
Oh, that does make sense, though. Diablo is a much simpler game, so it's more like if you just want to play a game for the mind-numbing effect of playing a game to get your mind off of things, absolutely play Diablo. But when it comes to more detailed worlds, more things to do, a little more difficulty, having to level up your characters, and yada, 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 I would definitely say Elder Scrolls. I really like Skyrim. So I'm actually going to have to go with Elder Scrolls because I do like that more immersive experience when it comes to RPGs.
Well, the four seed is firing back threes, and we've got a tie ball game. We're bringing it into our third voter. And I can't think of anyone more qualified to break this tie than Tony.
So these are actually two of my favorite games on this whole entire list. Huge Diablo fan since it came out on PC back in the 90s. Kept strong throughout the early 2000s and late 2000s with the console ports. And maybe I'm playing this game wrong, but Diablo 3 is complicated as fuck. Especially when you get into the escalating difficulty settings to where you can really tinker with and how to and really max out the procedural generations. But Elder Scrolls is Elder Scrolls. I mean, it's given us Morrowind, it's given us Oblivion, Skyrim, Daggerfall, Arena even. Like, I talked about shitty PC games starting out a series, but this PC game was incredible. It, you know, it dates itself, but it's still fun to pick up every once in a while and go back in and play. I have sunk thousands of hours into Skyrim. It's Elder Scrolls for me.
Elder Scrolls has picked up another vote. We've got a really close...
Not an exaggeration, by the way. Literally thousands of hours.
Yeah, I've met your wife. I believe that.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls has picked up a 2-1 lead and is on the verge of punching his ticket to the round of 32. Jason, you're up, sir.
So I'm sitting here thinking, this is a tough one, right? This is really tough. But we're basing this off of console only, correct?
No. So the way this works is we're looking at it from to be on the list, the only precursors you have to be a somewhat console game. But you can bring the entire iteration of them into it, no matter what platform they're on.
Okay.
If I can supplement, Chris, I think the easiest way to think about it, is it accessible from a console? Is it easy to buy on a console? Is it easy to play on a console?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it boils down to simplicity versus complexity, right? But I think the PC version of Elder Scrolls would take the edge here because the mod community has transcended Elder Scrolls way beyond what's even available from the developer, which is fantastic alone. I mean, both games are fantastic. So this would be tough, but I think if it were including the PC... The ability to mod Elder Scrolls takes it way, way above Diablo.
Well, with that, Elder Scrolls has a 3-1 lead and is moving on to the round of 32. We want to hear from Stu, though. Stu, did we get this one right?
You know, I'm glad I'm last on this one because I like many of you, this is the hardest one for me. I couldn't pick between these two, and I had to seek outside counsel. in order to get it right in my own head or not. I think ultimately I landed on Elder Scrolls. I absolutely love Diablo. Diablo 2 ranks in, again, one of my top games of all time, especially when you get down to using Battle.net and making like Bale runs. That is amazing and so much fun. And it actually has a lot of depth there. The controls are point and click. It's simple in that sense. But if you really start getting into management and then trying to find out like the right items and everything like that and getting into drop rates, it gets pretty complex. But Elder Scrolls as a series, you get lost in those worlds for thousands of hours. And I'm one of those people. You know, I can't tell you the amount of times I've started up Oblivion or Skyrim and even Morrowind a couple of times and just lost myself for a couple of weeks, and it's been great. So, Elder Scrolls.
And with that, Elder Scrolls makes this not much of a game at all. It's moving on to the round of 32, and we ourselves are moving on. We have got the 6th seed of Paper Mario taking on the 11th seed of Earthbound. And speaking of Earthbound, there's one of us that lives on Earth, and that is Jennifer. We're going to start with you.
What are you talking about? I live in space with David Bowie.
Well, that makes...
I want a divorce.
Not married yet. Jennifer, take us away.
So, okay. Earthbound, I never could get into. I'll just start with that. Pretty sure... There was a character, I think Ness was in Mario Brothers, Super Smash Bros., if I recall correctly. It's hard because when you think of Super Mario Brothers, even if it's Paper Mario, it's got that stigma to it. It's got that, like, okay, yeah, this is a Mario game. It's going to end up beating out no matter what you're looking at, for the most part. But putting it against Earthbound kind of put it over the edge because I could never really get into Earthbound. But, you know, I play Paper Mario still with my kids all the time. It's just one of those things where it's a household game. So I'm going to go with Paper Mario.
Paper Mario has picked up its first vote. We're bringing this one over to Tony.
So the only thing I have to say is PK Fire. And if any of you, and I know we shouldn't be taking this into consideration because it's later on in a different bracket, but Ness is the bane of my existence. I hate that character so much. And yes, it is solely because of Smash Bros., but that transcended Smash Bros. And made me despise Earthbound. It is such a popular RPG that I was just never able to get into because of two words. PK Fire. Paper Mario is a wonderful game, though, and it's fun. And it embodies Super Mario RPG in a way that we never thought we would get and was so glad to see again. Paper Mario takes this one for just pure funness.
Paper Mario has picked up a commanding lead. But it's not over till it's over. Let's hear from Jason.
Well, I hate to be boring on this one, but I'm not familiar with Earthbound at all. With that being said, I don't have much to say, but other than Paper Mario would take it for me. It was a fun game. It was cute. It's also Mario. So I don't think they've really had many misses with Mario. So... hope I don't offend anyone out there, but Paper Mario's my vote.
Well, as Jason takes our fans' fans' opinions into their thoughts, into his consideration, he is still voting for Paper Mario. Sorry for all those Earthbound fans. I hope you find some solace on another planet. We are moving on, though. I still want to hear from the other two panelists. Stu, are you a big fan of Earthbound? Give me your opinion.
Yeah, I like Earthbound a lot. I like the Mother series, but it's, again, you know, as said before, it's one that I just didn't get into that much. You know, it wasn't really accessible to a Western audience for quite a while, not in the same way that, you know, Paper Mario was, and so I didn't have a lot of experience with it. And I'm glad that Tony brought up Super Mario RPG, essentially the precursor to Paper Mario, because that's one of my favorite games ever. And yeah, I mean, Paper Mario is becoming easier and easier. You know, it has its faults, but, you know, Thousand Year Door and just Paper Mario on Nintendo 64 were an absolute blast of a game. And yeah, it's got to be Paper Mario. Earthbound's experience for what it is as a game is fun, but it's also not extremely unique, where Paper Mario kind of adds a certain characteristic to it that's more fun overall.
Well, we cannot send Earthbound off without hearing from one final person. Steven, put the final nail in the coffin or breathe some life into this bracket.
Yeah, so for both of these franchises, as far as I'm concerned, the first game is the only one that counts, and the sequels, though they exist, are not really worth your time. The original Paper Mario is great, and Earthbound is great, and in all good conscience, I cannot allow Earthbound to go down without a single fucking vote. Y'all, if you haven't played it, you need to play it. It's a really good RPG. It's fun, it's looks great for the graphics of the time, and it's an immersive world. It sucks you in. Earthbound, it's gonna get my vote.
And with that, Earthbound does pick up a vote, but it doesn't matter. Unfortunately, it is too late, and we are moving Paper Mario on to the round of 32. We have got three picks left here in this particular bracket. We're starting off with Tony. Tony, are you going with the 3 seed of Dragon Quest or the 14 seed of Fire Emblem?
Okay, so honestly, this is one of the hardest choices for me on this list. Both of these games are really fun. Fire Emblem, especially in some of its iterations, can get dastardly hard because it has permadeath. And for those of you who don't know, permadeath, your character dies, you lose that character. When you are building a team, that can get devastatingly hard during some boss fights. You really have to manage your time. However, Dragon Quest, much like a later seed, really encompasses one of the two mega houses of the turn-based gaming. One of its main artists is Akira Toriyama, and for those of you who don't know, Akira Toriyama is the famous mangaka or manga writer who penned Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, the creator of Goku, who is one of the most famous cartoon characters of all time. Dragon Quest has so many things great going for it, and its art style just kind of complements that as well. It's so far out there, and everything about it is just really fun. It just barely edges out because of the art style over Fire Emblem.
And with that controversial opinion, we are going to be moving on. Let's hear from Jason.
Yeah, so you just reminded me about something. So there was something about Fire Emblem, because I remember playing that a long time ago, and it was the difficulty, but it was the permadeath. That's what it was. So you reminded me about that, so thank you. I love Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest was always one of my favorites since the original Nintendo. I know there's been a ton. I haven't really followed it lately, but I think there's even an anime now for Dragon Quest. I'm kind of curious. I'm going to look that up after this podcast is recording. And Fire Emblem, even though it was a good game, I know it's very popular, it always frustrated me, and that's, I think, because of the permadeath. So I think in this case, Dragon Quest, which I think is an underrated role-playing game, especially compared to like Final Fantasy or something, but I think Dragon Quest is going to take it this round.
The 3 seed has got a 2-0 lead. Let's see how it keeps going. Stu, you're up, sir.
This was also a really tough one for me because... Yeah, Dragon Quest actually is underrated. You know, like Jason just said, compared to Final Fantasy, it lives in its shadow, and it's a great game. Fire Emblem is, you know, also pretty underrated, and it didn't get the start like many of the other games did either. Not really even coming to popularity until Smash Bros. Melee. But it was that permadeath that made me love it, actually. I'm a big fan of weighty decisions in video games, and when somebody dies and they're gone from your team for good, and all that time and all that effort that you put into having that character stay alive goes away, it leaves an impact on you, and it makes you decide differently in the future. So my vote's actually for Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem has picked up another first vote, actually. Sorry about that. And this could be a ball game. Let's see how it goes. We are moving this one over to Steven.
Yeah, well, we've all talked about the permadeath in Fire Emblem because that's such a rare thing that you get in RPGs, even old school RPGs to new RPGs. It's very rare that you don't just, you know, reset after a character dies in a battle. And I think that's one of the reasons I really love Fire Emblem, because it gives the game a higher replay value. Like, you're never going to lose the same character in the same place every time you play it. So it's going to be a different experience. You're going to end up with a different final team every time. And yeah, Dragon Quest, it's amazing. Like, you know, if this was a Japanese-based podcast, these would probably be both number one seeds, and we'd probably both be we'd all be swearing a lot about how great these ones are. But we're not. We're a Western audience. We probably all came to these later in life, particularly Fire Emblem. I didn't even know about Fire Emblem until, you know, I was in my 20s. But it's the better game. Fire Emblem is just the better game because it is harder, and it's more rewarding when you win.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our first opportunity of the bracket. Jennifer is our final panelist, but it is a 2-2 tie. So I ask the rest of our panelists, you all have buzzer beaters remaining. Would anyone like to shoot their shot at Jennifer? That sounds terrible. But would anybody like to shoot their shot and try and sway Jennifer one way or another on their vote? It is first come, first serve. If anyone wants to shoot it, now is the time. Speak now or forever hold your regrets. Oh, Jennifer, that silence means you're on your own here. You're going to piss off two people and make two people very happy. Lock in your vote.
Choose wisely.
And you know what? That's okay, because this is actually one of the ones that I was pretty firm in my decision when I was first going through these brackets. So I enjoy Dragon Quest. I do. But I'm a huge fan of like Final Fantasy and games of that nature, and Fire Emblem kind of has that same flavor to it for me. And I actually didn't even know anything about Fire Emblem, and I apologize if you guys can hear my dogs crying in the background. They're staring at me and I'm not touching them. I didn't know about it until 2019, actually, when my friend Richard, who is completely obsessed with Fire Emblem, introduced it to my son when he came up there to visit. And I mean, now I play it on my Switch, and I mean, I'm totally digging Fire Emblem, and I feel like that to me, I don't know, it has more staying power for me, aside from, you know, other things, but I thank everybody for not shooting your load at me, because that's a very personal thing to me, and I'm just going to go with Fire Emblem. I think I just scared Chris to death. He's crying. You guys, he's curled up in a corner in a ball, rocking back and forth. This is enjoyable.
You broke our glorious leader.
Well, that went about as good as anything else Jennifer Schultz has ever done has gone, so props. I'm joking. She has actually managed to raise two very, very, very good kids. You should be very, very proud of that, Jennifer. I'm not sure if you should be proud of your decision there, but Fire Emblem is moving on to the round of 32. Another three seed is out. Oh my God. Dragon Quest has been eliminated. Fire Emblem in the round of 32. No time to cry over spilt milk, though. We are moving on. And we are going to have the 7 seed of Fallout taking on the 10 seed Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. I've actually played both of these games. I don't know how you're going to make this decision, and thank God I don't have to. Jason, kick us off.
Oh, crap, it was me. I was supposed to be thinking about this one. Yeah, this is a tough one, guys. I love both of these. I got to be honest. I love both of these. So I wasn't ready for it, guys. But it is Star Wars. I stuck with Star Wars in the last bracket. So the first round, I'm going to have to go with Star Wars again. Knights of the Old Republic classic. Classic role-playing game. I even got my son involved in this one. And I think it's held up well. I don't know if, when the last time you played it is, but we replayed it, I think it was like 2-3 years ago. And it held up very well. He enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Fallout, though, fantastic game. I don't know if you guys played Fallout 76, but that was pretty bad. So, but just because of that, yeah, let's say because of Fallout 76, Star Wars takes the top on this one.
Well, the Knights of the Old Republic have unsheathed their lightsabers and are in danger of putting up a commanding lead. We are bringing the next vote over to Stu.
This one was tough for me, but for a different reason. So I don't actually have a lot of experience with either of these. I've played Knights of the Old Republic before, but it was a long time ago and it was very short-lived. And I think I've picked up Fallout, you know, maybe one afternoon at a friend's house or something. I've always felt like Fallout was like, you know, like the lesser of the Bethesda games. It's cool. I just can't really get into like the... I guess the aesthetic, like, I mean, I appreciate it, and I love, like, the post-apocalyptic thing, and I know that the level-up system is great, and everything, but honestly, I have more memories with Knights of the Old Republic, and I remember having more fun with Knights of the Old Republic, so it's going to have to be Star Wars.
The Knights of the Old Republic, their lightsabers are on full display. I don't know what colors they are because I'm colorblind, but that is neither here nor there. We're bringing the next vote over to Steven.
Fun fact, all lightsabers are actually a shade of gray, so you're just right in there with the rest of us, Chris.
Woohoo!
No, seriously, these are both pretty good games. I'm not in love with either one of these, and I think I'm going to give the edge here to Fallout, because I feel like Knights of the Old Republic is just so cutscene-heavy. I feel like every 10 seconds, the gameplay is stopping so that I can either read a wall of text and then make a decision, or I gotta watch a short little video. And maybe I just haven't played it enough. Maybe that gets less as you go on deeper and deeper into the game. But it was just real frustrating for me when I began it that I just never could get into it. So I'm going to go ahead and go for Fallout.
Well, Fallout is picking up its first vote, and I can't tell if Steven is just not a fan of the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, or doesn't like watching YouTube videos, but every 10 seconds there is an ad. Speaking of ads, let's hear an advertisement from Miss Jennifer Schultz.
Okay. So, I am so sorry, Tony, because you're going to have to pick up a tiebreaker here. I do recall playing Knights of the Republic. I still have it somewhere. But, you know, I've only played Fallout a handful of times, but it seems like Fallout had more staying power. Everywhere you go, you see Pip-Boy. That's what's his name, right? Pip-Boy. And, like, you see the little mascot, and, I mean, I'm very heavy into the convention scene, and every convention I go to, yeah, you see generic Jedis and stuff, but you see a lot of Fallout characters and stuff too. So I think in general, Fallout has a bigger, I don't want to say a bigger fan base because it's Star Wars, and I mean you don't mess with Star Wars, but I feel like more people of different age groups got into Fallout because Star Wars was, I don't know, it just seems like an older game to me, I guess, for an older audience, because my son couldn't get into that, and he loves Star Wars. But, yeah, I'm going to end up going with Fallout, and we're going to have to go to Tony for a tiebreaker.
Well, this 7-10 matchup is not a 5-0 victory. It is a 2-2 tie, and with that being said, we're going to bring it over to Tony in a second, but Is anyone passionate enough to lock in their buzzer beater to try and sway Tony one way or another? The floor is open. Tony, I am afraid this decision is 100% all your own. Please piss off two of our panelists.
With absolute pleasure do I do this. Chris, let me paint you a picture.
My eyes are closed, sir. I am ready. Paint away.
Imagine a 10-year-old boy swayed by the dark side, sitting behind a computer and an Xbox controller in hand, deciding the fate of a Trandoshan pilot. This is the options you get with Knights of the Old Republic, and it's not just, and this is so funny because this is Obsidian versus Obsidian, the best of the best, Fallout New Vegas versus Star Wars Knights of the Republic 2, both made by Obsidian Games. No, absolutely, this is Knights of the Old Republic all the way. Never before did you get the control over your character that you get with Knights of the Old Republic. It feels like a tabletop mixed with a just Jedi simulator. It's so much fun. Fallout is great, and I love it for what it is. But like Stu said, it is the lesser of the Bethesda games. Knights of the Old Republic has a cult following still to this very day. I just built myself a PC, and it was one of the very first games I installed on it. Knights of the Old Republic, how I wish for another one day soon. It absolutely moves on. And may I leave you with one more? Darth Revan. Any Star Wars fans out there who know him will love him and fall absolutely enamored with his story. It is so much better than Anakin's, so much better than Rey's, even rivals Luke's, for all you original trilogy lovers. It's Knights of the Old Republic.
Now, Knights of the Old Republic is going to be moving on as somehow Tony just became more divisive than Rian Johnson in the Star Wars universe. I don't know how that's possible, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. We are moving on to our last matchup of the evening, and this one actually could be pretty close because we are on, you've got your 2 seed of Final Fantasy taking on the popular 15 seed of Mass Effect. Stu, we're going to start with you. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, it's, I've played a couple of Mass Effects. I did not play the third one, but I feel like you can get the same experience for Mass Effect as you could with, like, any Dragon Age. You know, it's just like, what theme do you want slapped on it? You know, do you want high fantasy or do you want sci-fi? Like, you could just switch between the two. I don't feel like you really garner anything that's extremely unique there other than maybe parts of the storyline. Final Fantasy is a wonderful piece of art. I mean, every game is so unique and just a joy. I mean, I think I started with 7 when I was younger, and then 10 was actually the first game in the series that I ever 100%ed, and I took the time to do it because I just loved it that much. It's Final Fantasy. I would be very, very surprised if Mass Effect moves on from this.
Final Fantasy has picked up its first vote. Let's see how surprised Stu will be when Steven locks in his pick.
Okay, so that was either a call for Stu again or me, but I'm just going to go ahead because I like to hear the sound of my own voice. No, this is an easy, easy answer. This is Final Fantasy all the way. I don't agree that every single Final Fantasy is a home run, but 98% of them are. It's an incredible series that has just somehow been able to reinvent itself over and over again. It is the platonic example of a turn-based RPG, as far as I'm concerned. It's just Final Fantasy. We'll get to talk about it later, so I'm not going to belabor the point here.
Well, we have no points belabored as Steven brings up a percentage that only tells me that at some point there have been, I'm assuming, 50 Final Fantasy games. Otherwise, we're talking about partial credit for video games, and that's not part of the boozy bracketology methodology. It doesn't matter. Let's keep moving. Jennifer, lock in your vote.
Okay, so on a personal side, I feel like, you know, I'm supposed to vote for Mass Effect, because, you know, I have worked with, and, you know, I'm friendly with the voice actor who is Commander Shepard. But it's Final Fantasy, and I'm completely leaving Final Fantasy VIII out of this, because it can go in a corner and stare like the dunce that it is. But Final Fantasy is just like every, again, aside from Final Fantasy VIII, every Final Fantasy that I have played has just been so much fun. It's one of my favorite games. It's half of the reason why I love Kingdom Hearts so much. But yeah, it's going to, I mean, I'll go into it more later, but yeah, it's absolutely Final Fantasy for me.
And with that, Final Fantasy is going to be moving on. Let's see how dominating of a victory this is going to be. Tony, lock in your vote, sir.
Okay. First off, I just want to refute the fact that Final Fantasy VIII is a dunce. Leon is one of the greatest characters in all of Final Fantasy.
The card game!
Get out of here. That card game is wonderful. It's a side game, and it spawned its own game. Besides the point...
You're a psychopath.
I'll take it. I love Gwent. I love all card games within games. Final Fantasy shits on Mass Effect. I love Mass Effect. I can't wait for the remasters to come out next month. However, Final Fantasy VII, to this day, is still my absolute favorite game of all time. And then you add on 10, you add on 8, you add on 6, you add on 13.2, 13.3, you add on 15. It shits on Mass Effect. It shits on most of these games in every bracket. Final Fantasy, come at me if you want.
Well, as Tony invites all comers to come punch him in the face, I can't help but wonder, what does Jason think here?
Not that it matters at this point, but Final Fantasy as well. I love, 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 love Mass Effect. It's got a place in my heart forever. I didn't know the remasters come out next month. I didn't realize that soon, so I am super pumped for that. I wonder if they're going to change the ending. No spoilers. But, by the way, Team Tali, if anyone's out there listening. The Final Fantasy series, though, is fantastic. VII is probably the first role-playing game that I got into as a kid. Blew me away. That and Lunar, which is not on this bracket, I don't believe. Nope. Disappointing. But Final Fantasy VII is what started it for me. Ever since then, I've been playing games, so... Final Fantasy all the way.
And with that, Final Fantasy picks up at the only sweep of the evening as Mass Effect has been swept out of the round of 64. Final Fantasy is going to be in the round of 32. And just to recap, your round of 32 for the RPG portion of the bracket is going to feature Pokemon taking on The Witcher. Both of those won their matchups 4-1. Then we're going over to the 12 seed of Baldur's Gate taking on the 4 seed of Elder Scrolls. The 6 seed, Paper Mario, taking on the 14 seed, the first upset of the evening, Fire Emblem. And we're going to end it with the second upset of the evening, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, taking on the sweeping Final Fantasy. This is going to be, quite honestly, just finishing up the round of 64, knowing what the next picks are going to be, is going to be interesting. So keep on checking in with the most recent updates of the Boozy Bracketology podcast. You do not want to miss them. And when we get to the round of 32, those are some really tough decisions. I will be sure to be drinking something, I can't say stronger than what I'm having now, but equivalent, because I'm a moderate video game fan after listening to the five of you talk. Maybe a very small video game fan. It's going to be fun. Listen, if you're enjoying the Boozy Bracketology podcast, leave us a five-star rating, write us a review. That'd be awesome. Find us on Facebook at The Lounge, fans of the Pub Trivia Experience in Boozy Bracketology. You can interact with us, talk to us, tell us what your favorite or least favorite opinions of us are. Instagram at Boozy Bracketology, Twitter at Boozy Brackets due to those damn character limitations. If you're enjoying the show, patreon.com/PTEBB, where you can get all of our bonus content, including bonus brackets and bonus trivia from the Pub Trivia Experience. With all that being said, we hope you've enjoyed the show. For Boozy Bracketology, I have been Chris.
I've been Tony.
Toss a coin to me, Jason.
I've been Stu.
I've been Steven.
I think I've been Jen.
Well, I'm glad one of us knows who we are. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you in a couple days with the third part of the Round of 64. Have a good one.